This Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. PCGS has paired with Thomas Cleveland, a celebrated U.S. Mint master designer, to issue limited edition labels, each hand-signed by Cleveland. Visit pcgs.com/labels to find out more. In this episode of the Coin Week podcast, we sit down with PCGS bulk director Mark Stevenson to discuss novelty labels, modern coin submissions, and trends in world coin markets. You'll find out what Mark has to say next on the Coin Week podcast.
So Mark, one of the things that we've read online over the last several months has been some collector concern about increases of certified coin populations. And the assumption is that it has a deleterious effect on the market value of coins. If you have a coin with a population of 50 and then it becomes a population of 70 or 80. But I saw that PCGS President Don Willis push back a little bit against that, and I wanted to sit with you and ask you for your outlook about whether or not increasing populations of rare coins really has the negative effect that some people might assume it does.
I don't believe that it does, Charles. I think that increasing populations over time is inevitable. There's always going to be a roll or a shoebox of coins that's found in someone's attic that they'll take, maybe to PCGS. In this case, the sort of allegations leveled were, for example, involving the 12S nickel population in 66. And that increased because three gem rolls were found and the astute dealer brought them to us to get graded. Prior to that, the population was very low. So there are factors that explain why populations increase over time.
Right.
And I don't think that collectors need to be concerned about that. That's part of the hobby. That's actually a cool part of the hobby. You know, the fact that there could be something in your grandmother's attic that you might be able to, bring to a grading service to get graded, and, that's the proverbial score.
Yeah, it's not like any collector ever, finds a roll of 1913 nickels and mint state and says, I don't want to affect the population, so I'm just going to circulate these.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So. Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, it seems to me that one of the things that we don't focus on enough is that this is not a hobby that is shrinking in size. I as the editor of Coin Week, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on the size of the market and where the market's going. And I just see this as a hobby and an industry in transition. There are a lot of older collectors we see at coin shows, but a lot of younger collectors don't come to coin shows to buy coins. So I think that we don't have a one-to-one personal interaction with maybe what is going to become the ascendant generation of new coin collectors in the same way we would have with their parents or grandparents. And PCGS, I mean, you're not seeing decreases in coin submissions. You're actually in a growing phase.
Absolutely.
Based on what I've seen come out.
That's accurate, yeah. I think the explosion of popularity in modern coins is part of the driving factor behind the phenomenon that you're describing. And I think that as collectors, we shouldn't really be concerned that's a major part of the new movement. Classic coins are still very, very popular, and I think they always will be. But this is a growth of our hobby, and it's good for the entire hobby, I think.
The last time I saw you, we were both in Berlin at the World's Money Fair. I had some commentary about what I saw as a learning opportunity the American coin industry has by attending that show. Really more of a trade show than a traditional coin show or traditional bourse like we would see here.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that a lot of the foreign mints that go to that show are really innovating right now.
Absolutely. There's some really cool modern world coins, and they are popular with collectors. We see a lot of them come through, at PCGS in the bulk department. But yeah, I mean the fact that there's mints that are that have traditionally done their product only in gold, and now they're doing them in silver. They're making it more accessible to people. Things like that, and some of the designs are just beautiful. They're truly works of art, and in their own right.
So how is PCGS adapting to this new market, which is really diverse in its focus? It seems like we're getting into a, I wouldn't even call it a chaotic market now, but we're getting into a market where there's diffuse interest in all these different areas. How do you keep up?
We try to stay as organized as we can and try to be ahead of the new releases and be flexible with what our customers' needs are. I mean, from a business-to-business perspective, we're involved in a lot of label creation, which, for better or worse, I believe that is one of the major trends in modern coins. Some people don't like it. Some people absolutely love it. And I think that we are responding to the demand that we see. So that's kind of what we're doing to stay ahead and be abreast of that growth.
So I got a tough question for you, actually. Something that I thought about for a while, and something I think you see in the marketplace based on submission trends and population mm-hmm. trends, especially when it comes to modern coins, is the world mints and the U.S. mints are constantly, either accidentally or by design, improving the quality of their products.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for a grading service is that it's the window of available grades of a recent release is narrowing,
mm-hmm.
At least profitable grades. So right. I think for like a Silver Eagle program, you're probably looking at 69 or 70 as the two grades that you'll most likely see in a holder, because grades below that are not profitable enough.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect what your approach is to grading coins, and how do you think the market, how do you think this will play out in the market when we're talking about modern coins? We're talking about two very narrow slice of differential between unprofitable coins and profitable coins for grading.
That is a tough question. We have a responsibility as a grading company to grade the coins that in front of us. A grader has one coin in their hand at a time, and they grade it how they think it ought to be. In the modern coin world, as you mentioned, I mean, there's really only two grades. A coin is a 68 if there's a serious issue. For the most part, they're all 69s and 70s. And then there's a percentage of, which is which. Some coins we find are made a lot better, and they come a lot nicer, and they get a higher percentage of 70s as a result. Because they're virtually perfect. They deserve the grade. In terms of what the market is asking for and what's profitable, there are coin issues that are profitable in 9 and 70, and there's some that just aren't profitable in 69. So there's a requirement that we be flexible and not have to holder the coins which deserve a 69 for our customers if they need 70s only. So we're able to do that, and we do that, and that's part of the new wave of grading and submitting and marketing.
But I think with what you're saying with the minimum grade, which is I think what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
I think it is important for collectors to understand, however, when they're looking at a population report on a modern coin, that these are professional dealers typically submitting them. I mean, there are collectors,
mm-hmm.
but professional dealers, sometimes they do their own pre-screening, but that does not necessarily mean if you have a coin that has like a 50 or 70% MS70 or Proof 70 grade out,
mm-hmm.
that means that 50 to 70% of every coin the mint would have struck would have earned that grade.
Mm-hmm.
That means after a highly selective process that is what you're seeing, mm-hmm. With some variability. It could very well mean that if you bought a monster box on your own of Silver Eagles, that you would have one or no 70s in that box.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the luck of the draw. So you are seeing quite a number of modern coins that are rejected for grading based on the criteria that the submitter may set.
That is true, yeah. And the disparity that you just brought up, that you might get no 70s or 170 is very rare. A more likely situation is that the way, and we don't actually know why this is, but the way that the coins come out of the mint, sometimes an entire box will be very, you know, high percentage of 70s. Another box will be relatively low. And we can sort of begin to spot which types of box are going to grade out well before we even open them. So that's just from the U.S. Mint. From foreign and from world mints, it's not really the case. But certainly we have to be adaptive to what our customers' needs are. The market has spoken on certain things.
Yeah, but for world coins, I mean, like with the Chinese pandas, I mean, there's certain distribution points where you know that the pandas aren't going to be as nice. I mean, I guess once you're really in the weeds in the grading industry, you kind of pick this kind of experience that an average collector would never see enough material to make these judgments.
Right. No,
shipping world coins across the ocean is, you know, also presents its own issues.
Right.
So it's 70 is not a foregone conclusion on any issue, really.
No. I mean, there are coins that, in their transport, they rub against the high points of each other, and they all come with that same rub in the same spot, and none of them are 70s. And that's just the reality. You know, I mean, our submitters are going to be upset. There's, you know, why are there no 70s? Well, because they all have a problem. They all have the same problem. What can we do? We're not going to assign 70s to coins that aren't 70s.
Why do you think different dealers look to customize label programs as a tool or a strategy to sell their product? Why do you think that's had such an impact?
I think that it affords them a way to differentiate from other sellers in the marketplace. I mean, these are bullion coins for the most part, let's say, silver eagles. What differentiates them is that this particular label is only available here, for example. And that's how the sellers are able to sell that product.
And what we've seen, I think, in recent years is that the industry and certainly your company has continued to innovate on the labels. So how are the 2017 releases from the U.S. Mint looking that you're seeing?
The Silver Eagles, the BU, came out in mid-January, and they look great. They graded out at a high rate. The Mint seems to have made them very well this year. We've seen BU Gold Eagles. We've seen some Proof Gold now as well. Everything is actually doing very well this year in terms of production and you know, grade through at 70%, or excuse me, at proof or mint state 70, high percentages.
What about on the commemorative side?
Those are okay. They're fine. I mean, you've seen Lions Club, and I think Boys Town just got released. Maybe it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Haven't seen any of those coins yet. Those are, you know, the commemorative program with the U.S. Mint is, it's okay. I mean, we would like to see probably some more exciting coins come out of the commemorative program, something that is more, has a wider appeal.
Seems like the last home run was probably the baseball program.
Definitely. I mean, the Kennedys as well. And since then you've had programs which produce, you know, in my opinion, nice looking coins. Like I really like the National Park coins. I thought those were nice. I just didn't see a lot of those come through in grading. Didn't see a lot of that in the marketplace. The public kind of just wasn't very interested. So there is a coin coming out on April 6th, as you know, the 2017 American Liberty Gold High Relief. I think that'll probably be very popular, but obviously it's a 1 ounce gold coin. So it kind of is, you know, priced at a certain place where a lot of people won't be able to participate. But there's a silver metal version coming. We don't know when, but sometime this year, of the same coin. I think that'll be a big hit, very popular.
And the last time the Mint put out a silver metal version of a high relief gold coin, it did fantastically well.
It did, and they only made 25,000 of them, and they sold out in 6 minutes, which was, I believe, a record.
Usually a sign that your marketing department messed up when you sell out of something in 6 minutes.
Exactly. Should have made more.
Yeah.
That's very clear.
Well, looking out in the future, I mean, it's never too soon to consider a few years from now, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing is going to probably have a big coin. That's going to be something I think collectors need to pay attention to.
Definitely. I'm personally very excited about that. I'm kind of a space nut. I love astronomy, and the space program was held a very special place to me in my imagination in my life when I was a young kid. So I'm excited about that coin.
Great. Well, thanks for spending some time talking with me.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. Remember, you can download all episodes of the Coin Week podcast for free from iTunes. While you're there, please leave us a 5-star review. For Coin Week, I'm Editor Charles Morgan, signing off. Happy collecting.